Hello, and welcome to the ATPE podcast, brought to you by the Association of Texas Professional Educators and covering the hottest topics on Texas educators' minds today.
Hello, and welcome to the ATPE podcast. My name is David George, and I serve as the editor for ATPE News Magazine. Today, we're going to discuss the upcoming school board elections in May, specifically board and bond elections and what makes them so important for Texas educators. We're excited to be joined by ATPE's newest lobbyist, Heather Sheffield. Thank you for being here, Heather.
Thank you so much for having me today, David. I'm super excited to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am really excited to be the newest lobbyist for ATPE. I am very passionate about public education. When I was 8, I dressed up as a teacher because I wanted to be a teacher when I grew up. And that has kind of carried me through my entire life. I'm obsessed with school supplies. That may have something to do with it. I have a large collection of flare pens and I'm super like obsessed now with the Sharpie S gel. So I think that that's a trait that a lot of teachers share. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But anyways, I graduated from the University of Miami in Florida. Go Canes. I taught first grade in Lamar Consolidated ISD, which is right outside of Houston, if you're not familiar with where that is. And I taught until my son was born prematurely at 33 weeks. So it was a forced exit, I would say, because he was too little to go into daycare. And that was not a fun time, but now he's super healthy and 6'3", so he's fine. And now I'm doing other things to support educators. So I'm really excited about that, too.
Tell us about the volunteering that you did in your school.
Yeah, so I have pretty much served in every capacity in every role within a school and a district, starting with homeroom parent, PTA president. I've served on district leadership teams. You name it, I've kind of done it within schools and districts. And so I was even awarded the honorary PTA Lifetime Award for my work in Spring Branch ISD. So I'm pretty proud of that. Since I've been out of the classroom professionally, I have stayed really engaged and involved with public education and worked hard for our public schools in a variety of different ways. So my family, we even moved to Austin in 2015, and at that point, I got even more involved and started advocating at the Capitol. I have been involved with TAMSA, Texans Advocating for Meaningful Student Assessment, emphasis on the meaningful. We're the group that brought it down from 15 end-of-course exams to just 5, so I'm really proud of the work that we've done to help make sure that exams are meaningful and don't burn out teachers and kids. So I've been their board president since 2018 also. And so I started with the advocacy at the Capitol with TAMSA and with other groups on a variety of education topics. And I did that all unpaid for a while, but I have been lucky to, you know, do other things and to now get paid for my work. But I was also elected to serve on a Central Texas school board in 2019, and I've had the honor of being reelected in 2022. So I'm up for election next year. So cross your fingers, say a prayer if you pray for me next year, because going through that is not fun. But it is a great honor to be able to serve my school district in a way that I get to make sure I'm advocating for our staff and our students, and really support our schools in a way that is, that you can't do it in any other way unless you are on the school board. So I'm honored to do that. And I have 2 kiddos in public school.
Well, that's great. What brought you to ATPE?
So lobbying for educators is a dream. I am just so privileged to be here. I've been a lobbyist for a few years, and like I said, before that, I was an unpaid advocate for many public education causes. Before coming to ATPE, I lobbied for the Texas Association of Rural Schools, Texas Rural Education Association, and the Texas Rural Broadband Coalition. So all of those were public education entities, and so I've been fighting the good fight for schools and to hold back vouchers and to make sure that our teachers are getting what they need in the classrooms as well. I've also had the privilege of knowing Monty and Mark and Tricia for a few years and some other ATPE staff. So when I saw that job posting come open, I applied immediately and was super excited that I was selected to do this job. So it's just a really, really great place for me to be, and I'm happy to be here.
So what motivates you to work so hard for teachers?
So I firmly believe that, you know, at home, if you are a happy wife, you have a happy life and your whole family has that. And it's the same thing with teachers in the classroom. Happy teachers equal happy students. And so if we're supporting our educators and making sure that they have everything that they need and a great work environment, they are able to just do their job of educating students and make sure that the kids have what they need. So I am so glad that we are able to support our educators so that they can support the students. And it's better outcomes for everyone. Work-life balance, you know, just making sure that they have the things they need.
So I'd like to talk a little bit about the two elections in May that educators need to be aware of. What can you tell us about each one?
So it's weird that we've had so many elections back to back to back. And so we are now facing May, and there are two elections. The first one is May 4th. The May 4th election, first of all, early voting. I'm looking at you guys, voters. Early voting starts April 22nd through April 30th. Depending on where you live, you will have different things on that ballot. So you will most likely have a school board trustee election. You may have a bond election on your ballot, and you may have an appraisal district board election. And those votes are super important to teachers. So again, that's the first one. That's the May 4th election. And early voting starts just, you know, in a few days, really. And then the second election is a runoff election. So not everyone will have that second election in May, but many will. And so in those, the early voting starts May 20th through 24th. That's a super short window for early voting. And that one is very important to educators, especially because several of our pro-public education friendly legislators are in runoffs. And so I know we've been saying you have to go vote again, but you really have to go vote again and bring all of your friends, because, you know, if we don't have our pro-public education friends back at the Capitol with us, it's going to be a much harder battle to get all the things that our educators need. So it's so important that teachers get out and vote and bring their friends. Get everybody on your campus to go vote.
So what can you tell us about school bonds and how they work?
Yeah, so school finance is tricky, and school districts actually have two parts to their budgets. There's the maintenance and operations side, and then the INS interest and sinking side. So your M&O, maintenance and operation, covers all the day-to-day expenses, and the interest and sinking covers your bond debt or your debt services. And so most people, I did not understand this when I was a teacher. I had no idea what M&O and INS was, and I had no idea that, you know, your salary gets paid out of the maintenance and operation portion of the tax rate or your school district budget. And that is the largest component of your budget. And so in my school district, it's 86% of the M&O budget goes to salaries for our staff. So those are your teachers and other administrators, paraprofessionals, bus drivers, all of that. So that's a large chunk of the budget that's covered in the M&O. School bonds, are covered under the INS side. And bonds are important for several reasons. I think, you know, as a teacher, I liked it when my air conditioner worked in my classroom after coming in from recess with 22 first graders that were a little stinky. Like, it's much better to have working AC after spring break. And in the winter, you want your heater to work. And, you know, there's a variety of other things. If your campus is well-maintained, it's a much better work environment rather than a rundown school. So you need bonds to help maintain buildings. But if you're in a fast-growth district, you don't want to have overcrowded classrooms or be in a portable if you can avoid it. And so it's important that we have bonds that pass so that we can get new buildings, so that we can continue to grow our districts to support the students and to make it a pleasant working environment for our teachers.
Just to clarify, do teacher salaries come out of bond money?
No, teacher salaries cannot come out of bond money. That is a big no-no, and you will hear a lot of rhetoric sometimes in communities where, especially where they've put up a big new, you know, football stadium or something, or there's a new scoreboard, and people will say, oh, they're putting all that money into, you know, the football stadium, and they're paying their coaches all this, but they aren't paying the teachers. Well, they can't. So I feel like if it was legal to pay teachers out of bond dollars, we'd be having even more bonds, but that is not legal. So you cannot pay that. And I think it's also important to note that voters approve the bonds. So if there's something that comes up in your community that you weren't aware of, it's probably because you didn't look to see what you were voting for. So I always encourage people to look to see what is being voted on. And most districts have something called a bond advisory committee or a bond oversight committee or something like that, where they go through the process and it's very transparent and public facing. And so people are aware of what is going into the bonds and why. And so I always, you know, would ask people to educate themselves on what the bonds cover. And again, if it passes, the voters have approved it and the voters have said this is something that we value and that we want for our community and for our students. And again, with the football fields, that one always cracks me up because it's not just football players that use the football fields. It's the band, you know, it's soccer, it's lacrosse in some places. It's you name it. Pretty much every kid goes out. I mean, even in my district, the kids went out and watched the eclipse in the football stadium. So it's pretty cool to have that for your community. And Friday Night Lights is a big deal in Texas. So you have to have places for people to sit to watch.
That's true. Let's talk about school boards and the school board elections. Can you explain to us why that is so important?
Absolutely. And I will say, you know, as a sitting school board trustee, I am a little bit biased that I think that they are very important. But I think that teachers should also think that they're very important, because not only do school boards set the tax rate, they also set the tone of the district and the culture by hiring and firing the superintendent. Hopefully it's hiring more than firing, just because of, you know, retirements. And trustees also approve curriculum. Now, granted, the State Board of Education is involved in the setting of the curriculum also, but they usually give some options. And so school boards are tasked with selecting the criteria and then also going through and reviewing the materials and then approving the textbooks or whatever is being brought forth for curriculum. And then they are also in charge of overnight field trips, you know, not really going on them, that would be fun, but just approving them. And then they also vote on policy and set the goals for the district. So trustees really can make or break your district in a lot of ways by setting the tone, and they can, you know, really support the will of the community by listening to constituents, but they also listen to staff. And so it's really important that you know, as educators, your trustees. And so if there's something happening in your school, there can be an advocate for you. And probably most important to educators is that trustees decide if educators and really all staff get a raise. So this is a big reason that you want to make sure that you have trustees who are committed to supporting your schools and supporting your staff so that you can get a raise. And they also set the tax rate. That's kind of a big deal too.
That's true. So we have been asking educators to come out and vote quite a bit this year. And I think it's important for people to know why they need to be involved in every election. Can you talk to us about that?
Absolutely. Public education is always on the ballot, whether you know it or not. There are a lot of things that you might see on the ballot and think, oh, that has nothing to do with me, that doesn't impact my profession, but it does. And so I highly encourage educators and everyone to do their homework and not to do what people do when they go to like a horse race and pick the person with the name that they like best. Actually do your homework and make sure that you are voting for someone who is pro public education. So for instance, on the May 4th ballot in my area, there is an appraisal district that has 3 seats up. And so you would think, you know, what does that have to do with teachers? Well, appraisal districts are responsible for appraising properties in the property tax. They're responsible for appraising property for property tax purposes, which is confusing. And they do that for each taxing unit. And so with that, they are really impacting the investment in public schools, in libraries, in parks, and other things that are just kind of there in our world, but that are so important. And so we want to make sure that those are well-funded and that we are making the investment in our public schools and our libraries and our parks. And so if you just looked at that and said, oh, it's just an appraisal district, I don't want to pay more taxes, you know, I don't know that you would really think about schools, but it's so important that you think that public education is always on the ballot, because it is. And so there's an instance right now in Conroe ISD where they were hit with an underappraisal, and they in the blink of an eye lost millions of dollars. And so this is something that we want to make sure doesn't happen everywhere, because that's less money to pay teachers with. So it's super important that everybody does their homework and to see what they are voting on, and to make sure that they are voting for pro public education friendly candidates when they are going to the ballot box. And you should also just make a habit of voting, because it's good civic engagement and modeling for your colleagues and your students.
Doing your homework. Nobody likes homework, but it is necessary. If an educator wants to better understand what's on the ballot, who's on the ballot, where can they go to learn more about that?
So one of the reasons that I was so excited to join ATPE is because we have teachthevote.org, and that is a fantastic resource to stay up to date on all the things that are happening with the ledge and elections. I also recommend the League of Women Voters. They are a very good source of nonpartisan information. And then also Raise Your Hand Texas does a great job of hosting candidate forums all over the state and talking to, you know, the candidates and asking them questions that are only about education. So it's good to look at those sources. There are others out there. Ask your friends who are involved. If you do have a PTA on your campus, there are legislative priority people who help with that and will help guide you. So there are lots of resources, and reach out to us if you need some help.
Is there anything else that educators need to know about this subject?
You know, I just think that it's really important that we vote as educators, because we are, you know, a huge voting block. And if we don't get out, then we are negatively impacting education and our schools and therefore our students. So it's so, so important that educators vote.
Heather, thank you so much for all your insight on this important topic.
Thank you for having me today.
As always, if you have any questions or feedback, you can send those to com@atpe.org. And we encourage you to subscribe to the podcast as well as leave us a review. Thanks again for being here, and we'll see you next time on the ATPE podcast.
Go vote.
Thanks for listening to the ATPE podcast. For more information about becoming part of Texas's largest community of educators, please visit atpe.org.